Narayanam Namaskritya Nanam Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, Chapter entitled The Elements of Material Creation, Text Number 45. Soyam
Soyam
Dipo
Dipo
Richisham
Richisham
Yadvat
Yadvat
Shrotasam
Tad
Idam Jalam
Soryam
Puman
Iti
Nrinam
Mrisha
Gir
Tir
Rishayusham Soyam Dipo Richisham Yadvat Shrotasam Tadidam Jalam Soyam Pumaniti Nrinam Risha Gir Dir Risha Yusham Soyam Dipo Richisham Yadvat Shrotasam Tad Idam Jalam Soyam Pumaniti Nrinam Mrisha Gir Dir Mrisha Yusham
Mrisha Gir Dir Mrisha Yusham
Saha
This
Ayam
Ayam
The same.
The same.
Deepa.
Deepa.
Light.
Light.
Achisham.
Achisham.
Of the radiation of a lamp.
Of the radiation of a lamp.
Yadvat.
Yadvat.
Just as.
Just as.
Shrotasam.
Shrotasam.
Of the currents flowing in a river.
Of the currents flowing in a river.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Idam,
Idam,
the same.
The same.
And Jalam,
Jalam,
water.
Water.
Saha,
Saha,
this.
This.
Ayam,
Ayam,
the same.
The same.
Puman,
Puman,
person.
Person.
Iti,
Iti,
thus.
Thus.
Nrinam,
Nrinam,
of men.
Of men.
Mrisha,
Mrisha,
false.
False.
Gi.
Di.
Statement.
Statement.
Di.
Di.
Thought.
Thought.
Risha Ayusham.
Risha Ayusham.
Of those who are wasting their life.
Of those who are wasting their life.
Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Although the illumination of a lamp consists of innumerable rays of light undergoing constant creation, transformation, and destruction, a person with illusory intelligence who sees the light for a moment will speak falsely, saying, "This is the light of the lamp." As one observes a flowing river, ever new water passes by and goes far away. Yet a foolish person observing one point in the river falsely states, "This is the water of the river." Similarly, although the material body of a human being is constantly undergoing transformation, those who are simply wasting their lives falsely think and say that each particular stage of the body is the person's real identity. Purport. Although one may say, "This is the light of the lamp," there are innumerable rays of light being created, transformed, and destroyed at every moment. And although one may speak of the water of the river, there is an ever new supply of different water molecules passing by. Similarly, When one meets a young child, one accepts that particular transitory phase of the body as the actual identity of the person, considering him to be a child. One also considers an old body to be an old person. In fact, however, the material body of a human being, just like the waves of a river or the radiation of a lamp, is merely a transformation of the three modes of material nature. The potency of the Supreme Lord. The real identity of a person is spirit soul, part and parcel of Lord Krishna. But as Lord Krishna proves in this verse, a conditioned soul is incapable of observing or understanding the subtle movements of time. Within the gross vision of material consciousness, one cannot ascertain the subtle segments of material manifestation, which are impelled by the Lord himself as time. The word Mrisha Yusham in this verse indicates those who are uselessly wasting their time in ignorance without understanding the instructions of the Lord. Such persons gullibly accept any particular phase of the body to be the actual identity of the spirit soul within the body. Because the spirit soul is not subject to material transformation, when he engages himself in the eternal variegated pleasure of Krishna consciousness, loving service to the Supreme Lord, he will experience no further ignorance and suffering. Omigyan timirandasya kinanjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai Sri Gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamaya Dadati swa vedantikam Pancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu pyevacha Petitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Hare. So one of the purposes of the Bhagavatam is stated within the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. It is to distinguish between matter and spirit, or between reality and illusion. So the Bhagavatam gives a deep description about what is matter and what is illusion and the temporary nature of matter, so that if we understand the temporary nature of matter, if we can understand what is asat, then we can become detached from this material world. Spiritual life, which is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age, is Vairagya Vija Nija Bhakti Yogena. This verse is spoken by Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya in praise of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, the type of bhakti that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach is based upon the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that bhakti is enriched with Vairagya and Vija, with knowledge and detachment. That is the type of bhakti which Lord Chaitanya and his followers practice. They become very learned. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are great scholars, very learned. Learned in which books? Which are the books which are most important to learn? What do we call them? Shastra. We call them the Bhakti Shastras. Yeah, the Bhakti Shastras. So those Shastras which deal primarily with bhakti, then we study them very deeply and we become learned in those shastras. Because by becoming learned in those shastras, we will become detached from the material energy. That's why Prabhupada emphasized that all of his followers should read 1 or 2 hours every day. This is Prabhupada's instruction. Hands up if you're reading 1 or 2 hours every day Prabhupada's books. Good, Mahatma Prabhu. Very good. Like that. Hands up if you're reading most days 1 or 2 hours. Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay, many. That's good. So, this is good, standard. Devotees should be reading Prabhupada's books on a regular basis because it will cultivate knowledge, divya gyan. Divya gyan, hriday, prakar, shito. The heart, hridaya, the heart will become illuminated, prakash, means illuminated by transcendental knowledge. By hearing this knowledge in the Bhagavatam, you will detach yourself from the material energy. You'll understand what is the difference between matter and spirit, reality and illusion. So therefore, it is necessary for the devotees to cultivate transcendental knowledge. Now, what is the result of cultivating transcendental knowledge, of hearing the Bhagavatam and the Bhakti Shastras? Then one develops vairagya. Vairagya means natural renunciation. One becomes detached from the material energy, naturally. It is not artificial. In the beginning, we have to artificially detach ourselves. So that's why we practice brahmacharya and brahma, we're brahmacharis or brahmacharinis, like that. Because we voluntarily detach ourselves from the opposite sex. Because in the beginning, that is necessary in order to become detached from the material energy. So therefore, we go through some voluntary renunciation. But over time, that renunciation will become deeper and it will become natural. And one will not see the opposite sex as an object of sense enjoyment. Prabhupada says that you will see all the Matajis as Krishna's gopis. And you will think they are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. Could you imagine going into the spiritual world and trying to enjoy any of Krishna's gopis? No, you cannot think of doing it. So then down here, you want to enjoy Krishna's gopis. So there's something wrong in the consciousness. So therefore, in the beginning, we have to practice renunciation. We have to become detached. But naturally that will occur as one advances in Krishna consciousness. Then one will not be attached to the material energy. Srila Prabhupada said to one reporter, said to Prabhupada, "Are you self-realized?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes." And the reporter said, "What is the symptom of your self-realization?" Prabhupada said, "I can be in a room of naked women and I am not disturbed, but you cannot." That is the difference. So this is actual vairagya, which comes from bhakti. Vasudeve bhagavati, bhakti yoga prayojita, janayat yashu vairagyam, jnanam chayat ahoitukam. Ahoituki means?
Causeless.
Causeless, yeah, automatic, right? When you advance in Krishna consciousness causelessly or automatically, then you become detached from the material world. It will be a natural occurrence. It's not something you have to artificially work upon. In the beginning, we do things to help us become more detached externally. We don't associate with the opposite sex unnecessarily like that. So we do all these things. But in due course of time, that will just become a natural inclination as one advances in Krishna consciousness. And this is actually the symptom of one who is becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya says, "Na danam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagadisha, kamaye." Na danam. Dana means? Dan means wealth, money. Right? Hands up if you're attached to money. All the greenhouses. Some of the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. That's not very good. Brahmacharis and brahmacharinis should not be attached to money. That should not be your consciousness as a brahmachari or a brahmacharini. You should not be thinking about money. You've got enough rest of your life you can think about it when you get married. Like that. You don't have to think about it when you're brahmachari or brahmacharini. Na danam. Dana means, but everyone's very attached in this world to wealth, to money. Right? Na janam. Right? Jana means? Janna means? Yeah, people. Jana means people, like that. Jana means you become very popular. Means you have a following. Then that is called Jana. Lord Chaitanya says that one must become detached from having followers. In other words, that can not be the motivation for your bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that of all the weeds or the anartas which grow in the heart, you know, which choke the bhakti lata, and the bhakti lata means the creeper of devotion. Of all the weeds which choke the creeper of devotion, the most difficult to uproot is the desire for pratishtha. Pratishtha means desire for recognition, honor, like that. This is very difficult, and it looks very similar to the bhakti lata. You think, oh, I'm becoming advanced because everyone is recognizing me. People listen to me as a devotee, right? So then we think, oh, that is a symptom of my advancement. And then that becomes the primary impetus for us to remain in Krishna consciousness or to practice Krishna consciousness. But this should not be the primary impetus for us to practice Krishna consciousness. What's that boy's name? You can't sit like that in front of the deities. Rupa Goswami says nectar devotion. He says, not like this, like that. He says, not like this. You can't do like that. He says, not like this. You know, sometimes people come in front of the deities, they go like this. It's God. Yeah, kick up. Well, it's not appropriate. You have to be appropriate, proper etiquette. What does Prabhupada say on the japa tape? Sit properly. Yeah? What does that mean? It means sit properly. This is sitting properly. Like that. Okay, so pratishtha is a devotee becomes confused sometimes that this is actually the reason why I'm staying in devotional service. He thinks it is the recognition I'm getting, and that becomes his main inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness. But actually, the main inspiration to practice Krishna consciousness is Krishna's pleasure. That is why we practice. That's why we render bhakti. That's why we do devotional service, for Krishna's pleasure. That is the principal reason. But it becomes very subtly within the consciousness of the conditioned soul, I'm doing this service for Krishna, and I enjoy doing this service for Krishna, and I will keep doing this service for Krishna, but especially I'm inspired by all of the recognition that I'm getting in my service. So many of the devotees respect me, so many of the devotees honor me, like that, and that becomes the primary impetus. But that is not pure devotion. So Lord Chaitanya says, Najanam, you have to be careful of these motivations in your heart. You have to examine your heart very carefully. And it will take time for these things to be overcome. They will not be overcome immediately or quickly. It will take time for them to be overcome. At least we can recognize they are in our consciousness. It's not that they will disappear immediately. It's not that tomorrow, you know, now I recognize I have the desire for pratishtha. I want honor. I want fame. Like that. So it's not that it disappears overnight. But at least we must recognize it, and we must try to quell it or try to remove it as much as possible from the consciousness. Like that. So na sundarim kavitam. What does sundarim kavitam mean? Sundari. What is sundari? Yeah, beautiful girl. Sundara is beautiful boy. Krishna is Shama. Sundara. He is a beautiful blackish boy. And Lord Chaitanya is Gaura Sundara. He's a beautiful golden boy. And Sundari means a beautiful girl. Like that. And Kavita. Kavita. What does it mean? Poetry. Yeah. So it means sweet speech. So this is what captivates the conditioned soul. The sweet words of the opposite sex. When you get the praise of the woman, or when the woman gets the praise of the man, this is what binds them into the material energy. This is what keeps us bound lifetime after lifetime. We will happily stay within this material world lifetime after lifetime, as long as we get the sweet words of the opposite sex. Then we'll be very happy to stay in this material world. Actually, we don't mind it here. Actually, I'll stay here for quite a bit longer. Who wants to go back to Godhead in this lifetime? Yeah. Right. Same old. Right, everyone's like, yeah. Like that. Who's really serious? I said this in the Bhaktivedanta class last night also. Look at the quality of your japa. Right? Is your japa good enough to take you back to the spiritual world? Right? And you want to go back to the spiritual world? Right? And your japa is... needs a lot of improvement. How do you think you're going to get back? You have to do some hard work. You have to get serious about this process. What did Andhra Prabhu say? He said you have to get fired up. But he wasn't saying it in a fanatical way. He wasn't saying it from the mode of passion. We say fired up, I'm fired up. No, he was saying it from the transcendental platform. You have to get serious. If you want to get out of this material world, you have to take a vrat. Dridha vrata. Dridha vrata means firm vow to get out of this material world. Right? You have to become fixed in your attachment and your service to your spiritual master. This is how you get out of the material world. So, the living entity will stay in the material world for lifetime after lifetime just by hearing these sweet words of the opposite sex. He thinks, oh, it is not so bad here at all. I'll stay here. It's not so bad. As long as my wife praises me, as long as my husband praises me, I'll stay here, it's not so bad. I'm a devotee, I can stay here. No, this is not the goal. So Lord Chaitanya says, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagad isha kamiye. You have to give up all of these desires, because these block your devotional service. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us to distinguish between matter and spirit. And is teaching us to distinguish between what is pure bhakti and what is kaitava dharma, or what is cheating religion, what is false. This is one of the purposes of the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam teaches us, first of all, what we are not, and then it teaches us what we are. So what are we not? We are not... the material body. What was one of Prabhupada's main themes in his preaching? Prabhupada just went all over the world, just giving lecture after lecture after lecture after lecture. You listen to his lectures just again and again and again and again. You are not the body. Why did he emphasize this so much? Yeah, so we become detached, like that. Just like Prabhupada was in one of the airports. Now, we've told this many times. He's in one of the airports. And when people are at the airport, they get very bewildered by the material energy. Because you're at the airport, you feel very important. I'm going to Bali. Right? So you put on your good clothes. Right? And you walk around the airport like you own everything. Right? And everyone who's walking around the airport in the same way, everyone's like, oh, we're all what, So it's this whole club which is going on in there. Like, the Purusha Bhav. Like that. So then, Prabhupada spent a lot of time in airports because he was travelling around the world 14 times. So then the devotee said to Prabhupada in the airport, he said, what do you see? Prabhupada said, I see flapping dead bodies. That's reality. So the Bhagavad Gita teaches us this first. This is reality. Flapping dead bodies. You go down Swanston Street, what is it? Flapping dead bodies. Before you start the Harinam, you get on the, you have the speaker. So you say, okay, all you flapping dead bodies. This is God's telephone number. And you start the kirtan, just to pick up their attention. So, first of all, the Bhagavatam teaches us what you are not. And then, after you understand what you are not, then you can understand what you are. But as long as you think you are something other than what you are, you cannot understand actually what you are. Is the point, it's clear, right? Does it make sense? You cannot understand what you are until you understand what you are not. At this point in time, we think we are something else. Right? So that must be cured first. That's why Prabhupada put so much emphasis. That's why the Bhagavatam is spoken categorically. Bhagavatam is systematic, bringing us to this level of God realization. Now you can understand what you are. When you understand what you're not, then you can understand what you are. This is the systematic evolution of the Bhagavatam. This is how it raises us in our consciousness. So then, if we are not the material body, then what are we? According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what are we? Spiritual, yeah. Jivara, Swarupa, Hoy, Krishnera, Nitya, Das. Krishnera, Tatashta Shakti, Veda, Prakash. So, Jivara, Swarupa, Hoy. Your Swarup means your eternal identity is Krishnera, Nitya, Das. Now, this is actually the process of self-realization from time immemorial, but especially in Kali Yuga. The only process which is effective is Bhakti Yoga. And what is Bhakti Yoga? It is simple. Yeah? You do service to Krishna and Krishna's devotees, the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. This is the process. This is how you become self-realized or God-realized, by practicing this process of Bhakti Yoga. So by this simple process of Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevana, Bhakti, Uchite, by using your senses in the service of the master of the senses, then you become realized. You realize what you are, as opposed to what you are not. You realize, I am Krishna's eternal servant. Because you feel that the bliss or the ecstasy that you feel within your heart, right, that is not coming from anything external. That is coming from the spiritual platform. That ananda, that bliss that we feel. So therefore, by engaging in the service of Krishna through Bhakti Yoga, then we get this realization, I am Krishna's eternal servant. Now, as we become uncovered, as we gradually advance out of the modes of material nature, then we become attracted to Krishna in a particular mood of service. This is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To establish us in our original rasa with Krishna. You see, this is the teachings of Mahaprabhu. He came to teach us how to worship Krishna in the mood of the Brijvasis. And how do the Brijvasis worship Krishna? As a son, as a lover, and as a friend. So this will come gradually as we advance in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Churuswami asked Srila Prabhupada in 1977. Bhakti Churuswami, has everyone met Bhakti Churuswami? You've met him? He came to Melbourne, quite that. So he's a very amazing personality. Prabhupada gave him first and second initiation at the same time in 1977, because Prabhupada left in 1977. Bhakti Churuswami met Prabhupada in 1977. Prabhupada gave him first and second initiation at the same time, and then gave him sannyas in about 2 months after that. Automatically takes sannyas, and that's how advanced he is. Prabhupada didn't do that for practically anyone else. Maybe a few people, but very rare. That Gaur Govinda Swami also got that same. Prabhupada did very quickly like that too. So very advanced devotees. So Bhakti Churuswami said to Prabhupada in 1977, he said, Prabhupada, how will we realize our eternal relationship with Krishna? How will we realize who we are in Krishna's pastimes? Srila Prabhupada said that it will be revealed to you within your heart by your spiritual master while you're chanting Hare Krishna. So that is our process. What does the Bhagavatam teach? Hari Nama Nukirtanam. This is the process. This is the Yuga Dharma. Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasjeva, 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 Katir, Anyata. Means there is no other way. It is by chanting the holy name. So why do we chant the holy name? Why are we called the Hare Krishnas? Why did we join a brainwashed cult? Why did we shave our heads and walk up and down the street wearing robes? Why do you do these things? Right? Because this process of chanting Hare Krishna, it cheto dapana marjanam, right? It uncovers or cleanses all the dust from the heart. Right? And it reveals who you actually are in relationship to Krishna. So Prabhupada said to Bhakti Charuswami that your relationship with Krishna will be revealed to you while you're chanting from within your heart by your spiritual master. So what does this mean? This is the process of chanting. Harinam Anukirtanam. Anu means to follow. So while you're chanting, what are you meditating upon?
Names,
yeah, primarily. Like that. But what are we meditating on while we're chanting? What do you meditate on while you're chanting? Right? Okay. 8th round, 9th round, 10th round, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. You know, what do you meditate? You know, you're just trying to finish your rounds. What are you meditating on? What do you think about while you chant?
Service.
Yeah, okay. What do you think about while you chant? It's a cultivation. It's a process. It's a cultivation. It means that while chanting, within the heart, one has to be associating with the spiritual master. As Prabhupada said, the spiritual master will reveal to you from within your heart your eternal relationship with Krishna. So you have to be meditating on your spiritual master and his service, and in relation to Krishna as time goes by. That has to be cultivated within the heart, that type of consciousness. And as you become more qualified and more advanced and more pure, then the spiritual master, if he's physically present, he will instruct you, or from within your heart, he will reveal to you his mood in devotional service. Right? And then he'll also reveal your mood in devotional service. This is the process. Right? So it's a process of cultivation. So it requires the chanting be done very seriously. If you do the chanting very casually, then you will get a casual destination. Right? And what is a casual destination? Krishna mentioned the Bhagavad Gita. Those who don't finish the process properly, where do they go? Yeah, they go to Swarga. Do you want to go to Swarga? You don't want to go to the heavenly planets? Why not? Because you've got to come back. And how long does it take till you have to come back? 10,000 years. You want to come back here in 10,000 years? It's bad enough now. What do you think Melbourne's going to be like in 10,000 years? Right, Melbourne won't be here in 10,000 years. They'll work out a way to blow it up. Or else they'll just blow it up without trying. Something will happen, the whole thing will explode or crumble, or something will happen like that. But it's not going to last, this whole situation. So Krishna says in the Gita that if you are casual in your devotional service, then you will go to the heavenly planets. Right? Because all the demigods, they're devotees. But they're not the most advanced devotees in the universe. So you have to take advantage of this opportunity you've got now. So who are the most advanced devotees in the universe? The most advanced devotees in the universe are the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are the most advanced devotees. And we are very fortunate because, being in his movement, we get the association of many of the most advanced devotees in this universe. They constantly travel here. Dave Marita Swami was here last week. And Vedavyasa Priyamaraj is coming soon, I think. More and more great personalities, they come. Very advanced souls. By their association, then you can learn the process of chanting. And you can realize, understand the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra to its full potential. And you have to understand what the potential is, like that. Just like there is a saying in English, do not get on any boat if you do not know its destination. Right? You can't just go and get on any boat. Just go down the pier, just jump on any boat and then just take off. Right? Of course you can do it. And it's a lot of fun. But, that's what your life's going to be. It's just going to be a lot of fun. and then at the end, right, then you just take birth somewhere else again, right? But if you're serious, you have to find out the actual destination. So, from the very beginning of our Krishna consciousness, we have to understand what is our destination. Now, what is our destination? According to the Bhagavatam, according to Lord Chaitanya, according to Srila Prabhupada, what is our destination? Prabhupada sat right there where he's sitting right now in 1975, looking straight at Radha Vallabha like he is right now, and he said, this is not Melbourne. He said, it is Vaikuntha. Right, and then he said, it is Vrindavan. So that is our destination. Right, Prabhupada was looking at Radha Vallabha like he does all day, every day. Right? And he understands that is our goal. He's pointing towards our goal. Why did he install these deities? He installed Gaur Nittai right there. You can see the video. Right? They're right there where they are right now, and Prabhupada installed them. He did the Abhishek. He installed Radha Vallabha down in St. Kilda. Right? Should we go for an excursion and see the actual house where Radha Vallabha were installed? You've been there, right, Rasa? You met Prabhupada there? Yeah. Rasa actually has been to that house in Burnett Street and met Prabhupada at that very place. So, Prabhupada personally installed Radha Vallabha, right? And Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, they appeared, the first time they appeared was at the Rath Yatra in Melbourne, in the centre of the city, in front of Prabhupada. Prabhupada danced in that Rath Yatra. You understand, when Prabhupada did that Rath Yatra, Prabhupada was about 73, 74. So like, Prabhupada's like 77, 78 years old, right? And he danced down. Normally on the Rath Yatras, he was travelling around the world going to the different Rath Yatras, they would make a Vyasasan on the Jagannath's rut cart, and Prabhupada would sit on the rut cart and he would go on the parade. And you see in many of the, you know, you see pictures of Prabhupada, and then he stands up. There's one in, it might be Golden Gate Square, Golden Gate Park, and then Prabhupada stands up on the Ratha Yatra cart and he begins to dance like that, and the crowd goes wild. Prabhupada begins to dance, everyone just erupts like that. So normally, but in this one in Melbourne, he walked the whole way, right? And not just walked, but he often turned around, looked at Jagannath and danced. And Prabhupada was telling Tamal Krishnamurti when he went, when he left Australia, he went somewhere else, and he said, I danced the whole way. I danced the whole way. Like that. Huh? 78. Huh? See what you're doing at 78. See if you dance through the whole Rath Yatra. Yeah, hopefully you do. Yeah, but yeah, Prabhupada danced the whole way. And then Prabhupada's telling, I danced the whole way. Falling on the spiritual platform. So Prabhupada is pointing towards our destination. Right? This is Mayapur. This first altar is Mayapur. This middle altar is Vrindavan. Right? And this altar, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, that is Dwarka or Jagannath Puri. Right? Now what is the mood of Puri? Right? Remembering Krishna and Vrindavan. What is the mood of Mayapur? Remembering Krishna and Vrindavan. So everything leads to Radha Vallabha. That's the goal of life. So Prabhupada is pointing. So this is what we should be looking for in our chanting. We should be looking for this relationship which we eternally have with Radha and Krishna in our chanting. You can say, okay, that's very advanced, and it is advanced, but that's what we're looking for. So what are you going to do? You're just going to stay neophyte for your whole life? You're going to be 75 years old and still saying, oh, I'm not advanced enough to, you know, what's the whole point? Why did Prabhupada give us the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which are the topmost scriptures describing love of Godhead? Because we're meant to cultivate an attachment to these kind of things. This is what Lord Chaitanya came to give, Krishna Prem Pradayate. So first of all, the Bhagavatam teaches us what we are not, and then the Bhagavatam teaches us what we are. So both must be studied and understood. That's why now we're in the 11th canto. What is the 11th canto? What's that? General history of? No. What is the 11th canto? Well, the 10th canto is the summum bonum. It's called the Ashraya, the Sanam Bonum. That's the goal, right? So what's the 11th canto? It's a summary. There's nothing new in the 11th canto. Right? It's a summary of everything else which was spoken previously. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava primarily. Right? Chapters and chapters. It's a summary of everything which was there principally beforehand. So Krishna's going over the same thing again. 11th canto, already past the 10th canto, already gone past all of Krishna's pastimes, even with the gopis. And now he's going back again to summarize the whole thing again, that you have to become detached from the material energy. And when you realize what you are not, then you can realize what you are. But you have to understand both simultaneously. So both have to be understood, both have to be studied. Right? This is the message of the Bhagavatam. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. When the devotee's heart becomes pure, then the devotee, his motivation is just to serve Krishna, just to give pleasure to Krishna. And then automatically, people are affectionate to him because he has good qualities. So one time the devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, everyone likes you." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, because I like everyone." So the devotee doesn't hanker after recognition or, you know, attention. But automatically that will be given because the devotee is selfless. He's worried about serving other devotees. One who's an advanced devotee doesn't worry about himself. He's just worried about all the other devotees. Are the other devotees happy? Are they comfortable? Are they sheltered? Like that. And because he renders that service to the other devotees, then automatically he gets so much affection in return. So he feels satisfied. But that's not the motivation. The motivation is to give pleasure to the devotees in Krishna. No, that's natural. That's natural. You don't have to give it up. That's just natural. Everyone wants to be loved because Krishna wants to be loved. We're all created in the image of Krishna. So Krishna has that psychology. So we also have the same psychology because we're part and parcels of Krishna. So he wants to be loved. So we also want to, that's natural. That's not wrong like that. But it doesn't have to become like a superficial, artificial thing. Like, oh, I want everyone to respect. It's different. To be loved and be respected are two different things. Like, you can walk through the room and everyone honours you and respects you and everyone bows down. Everyone's like, you know, like that. That's respect. But love's a different thing. You know, so it's natural everyone wants love. But you get love when you give love automatically. So you don't have to endeavour separately like that. Devotees just automatically feel satisfied because if a devotee is fully absorbed in giving to others, then automatically he'll feel fully satisfied because he'll always be, others will always reciprocate with him. Is that okay? Okay. Any other questions or comments? Then we're taught to be humble, because humility is the crest jewel of all the qualities of the devotee. So Prabhupada would always give credit to his guru, Maharaj. So you have to learn to do that, like that. But it has to become a genuine, because it's easy to say, oh, you know. There's a saying in English, one of the great English poets said that pride often borrows the cloak of humility. Like that. So it's very easy to go like, you know. But inside we're actually just saying, you know. Like that. But it's easy to act humble. Oh, Prabhu, you led such a nice kirtan. Oh, no, Prabhu, it's just your mercy. It's just your mercy. It's not, quite often, it's not very sincere like that. But when you become a little realized or a little advanced, then you actually give credit to Krishna, to Guru, to Vaishnavas, like that. So we have to look in our consciousness, examine our consciousness and see what is there. Like that. It takes time as well. It's not like that. But you have to learn to pass the credit on. At least in the beginning, the devotees, just like one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I don't feel like bowing down before you. And then Prabhupada said, then you must do it anyway. And then the feeling will come. So in the beginning, we're trained that if someone gives us praise, then we offer that praise to our guru. So it's just my guru's mercy or like that. Or we give credit to others, to other devotees. So we give credit otherwise. We don't accept it ourselves. We're trained like that in the beginning. But it's still somewhat superficial because we're not very realized yet. But we have to cultivate that actual deeper mood like that, especially over time. It's okay.
You
want to
tell something about
Loknath Goswami? I didn't realize it was a disappearance day. He was the guru of Narottama Das Thakur, and he vowed that he would not take any disciples. And then Narottama was trying to get him to initiate him, but Loknath Goswami, he would not accept any disciples. And then every day Narottama would come and he would clean the place where he would go and pass, where he would go and evacuate. He would come afterwards and he would clean. And then after some time, Loknath noticed that that was being done, and then he saw who was doing that service. He saw it was Narottama, and then he took the he gave Narottama initiation and accepted him as his disciple. So he was sent to Vrindavan. In the very beginning, he was one of the first devotees sent there by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Him and Bhugava Goswami. Sometimes they're said to be the seventh and eighth Goswamis, because we have the six Goswamis, Rupa Raghunath, Raghunath Bhatta, Sanatan Jiva, Gopal Bhatta. And sometimes it says that Bhugava Goswami, Loknath Goswami were the seventh and eighth Goswamis, like that. They were also intimate associates, and they lived in Vrindavan for many years, like that. That's as much as I can say now, because I didn't study up. That's it. Any other question or comment? Yeah, so it means that Prabhupada said in the beginning, just here, in the beginning. And we have to follow the order of our guru. So if your guru is giving you that instruction, then you follow that instruction. My spiritual master, he told me, he said, when you chant, think of Vrindavan. So sometimes when I'm chanting, then I think of different places in Vrindavan or Mayapur. Or Puri, and I meditate like that when I'm chanting, being in those places and like that. And I chanted, when I chanted with my spiritual master, when I went to visit him just before he left this world, then he would read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then he would read maybe 5-10 minutes, and then he would begin to chant. And he would have a picture of Vrindavan in front of him, and he would begin to chant. And he'd meditate on what he's been reading in like that. So you follow whatever your guru instructs you, like that. Whatever your guru gives you that instruction, then you follow, like that. But if you follow the instruction of the guru, you'll become perfect. Like that. But regardless of what we do while we're chanting, then the principle teaching is that we must hear the holy name. You know, even if you're meditating on Vrindavan, or like, you know, we chant here in front of the deities, we meditate on the deities while we're looking at the deities, we're contemplating the deities while we're chanting. But still, the hearing the holy name is the main ingredient, or the essential ingredient, while we're chanting. Is it? It's okay. Any other points?